Hi, this is the PNB Pacific National Board Finance Committee meeting. This is Dave Adelson speaking. I'm the chair. Casey McFaul is the secretary. Casey, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Adelson?
Here.
Allen?
Here.
Bediako?
Here.
Gatewood?
Here.
Heffley?
Present.
Hicks?
Here.
McFaul is here. Roberts? Tattersall? Weinman? Williams? We have seven present.
Okay. I sent around the agenda last week when we scheduled the meeting, and I sent around a reminder of it earlier today. It calls for 5 minutes for roll call and approval of the agenda, scheduling of the next meeting, 5 minutes, approval of minutes from December 1st, 15th, and 22nd, not scheduled for time, so let's put 10 minutes there. CFO report for 20 minutes, review of available financial data for half an hour, consideration of LeVar and Williams' motion regard bringing the treasurers to and business managers to a retreat prior to the March meeting, a report on the Spanish language programming progress, that's 10 minutes, budget calendar, 15, process for completing budget reforecast, 10, surplus and reserves working group report, 15, general ledger working group report, 10. Can we have a motion to accept this and then hear amendments?
Motion to accept.
Okay. Great. You can put down either Teresa or Patty. So, changes? Amendment?
Is there anything that we maybe want to discuss removing right now because it sounds like a pretty hefty agenda?
Well, I did give a brief report last time. Was that official? I'm trying to think at what point in the meeting about the general ledger working group.
I don't remember whether that was... We didn't have quorum, and then we achieved quorum, I think. Hang on, let me get those minutes. And I will tell you. If you have a specific proposal,
we did do an update, but we didn't come to think of it.
Yeah, I think I did, but I wasn't sure if it was during an official part of the meeting or...
Yeah, I seem to recall you're saying that you wanted to do it again at this meeting.
I could do it. It's not. It won't be that long. So.
Okay. Yeah, Casey, did you send out the minutes? Didn't you?
Yes, I did. You sent the ones to the short one last week, but the other two were out.
Oh, I sent them. That's right. That's right. Okay.
But we haven't approved the previous two either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's deal with this. Okay. Here we go.
I don't have the 12:15 minutes, Casey.
Okay, let's see. Meeting, we had the questions. No, I don't see that you gave us... yes, a brief update was given about the status of the General Ledger Working Group. That was in there. Anyhow, so are there specific proposals for changing the agenda?
I think that the surplus reserve issue... require more time we'll have at this meeting. Definitely moving forward to another agenda.
The surplus reserve? You don't want to at least... Okay, well, I mean, I have no problem with that. That's any objection to putting the surplus reserve working group report to our next meeting?
And, you know, I think, too, it's the other piece with the budget... reforecast process, they sort of go together.
Well, the problem with delaying the budget reforecast is if we're talking about the possibility of budget reforecast happening at the January meeting, we need to address it.
The only problem is that if we were to pursue it for a January meeting, there's the issue of gathering together any reforecast that stations might have between
right.
At who. Well, I guess it means we should at least talk about it. But
right. Let's leave it in the agenda if we can.
I would like to know the status of the Marnie's motions that we adopted at the December 1st meeting. about the dotted line relationship. I just want to know the status of those. Whether
okay.
They've been
I want you to know you're very faint.
Status of
oh, sorry.
status of NFC motions adopted at 12:05 meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. We can do that in 5 minutes. So we've moved to strike the surplus and reserves working group. Now, Lonnie, okay, let's see. Anything else? Budget calendar, where are we on the budget calendar process?
Well, you know, we did discuss it, as I recall. I did submit some dates. I did talk to people. I think I had sent it in an email at our last meeting or the one before that. So I'm if there's some sort of consensus on the group, I'm hopeful we can just agree to it by acclamation and move forward.
Okay. So are we going to okay, well, I was going to ask about the General Ledger Working Group. We are going to do that at this meeting?
Yeah, I can do something, and it won't take too long.
Okay. So budget calendar, Spanish language programming, I have something I'd like to put forward in that item. The other one is the consideration of the Williams motion. And I think we do need to deal with that before the January meeting because it calls for us to do something at the March meeting. So we may not take 20 minutes on the CFO report and a half an hour on the review of available financials. But I think, are there any other formal amendments to the agenda? If not, let's approve this and go forward. Okay, hearing no new amendments, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, that'll be our agenda then. The time now is, by my watch, 3:21 Pacific time. Is somebody willing to keep the time?
This is Jane. I could do that.
Okay. If you let me know about 2 or 3 minutes before the end of each item so we can dispense with whatever motions we have, if any. Are you near email?
I am.
Okay. I am going to email you the agenda as amended.
Thank you.
And then we will start with that. Okay. Amended agenda. And okay.
Marty, can you see what date you sent out the budget calendar recommendations?
I'll look in my email.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next item is the scheduling of the next meeting. The national board meeting is going to be in hold on a second, in January on the 27th through the 29th. Since the day before is a travel day, I'd suggest we do the meeting in the week before that. There's a governance committee meeting at 8 p.m. on the 19th. So how would people feel about doing Tuesday the 17th?
That's available for me.
Jane?
Sounds good.
Okay. Should we do it at the same time or should we do it at 8 p.m. Eastern?
By 3.
Okay.
Living on the East Coast.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Then...
I'm kind of partial to like 7 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
But I can go with 6 o'clock Eastern if that's...
7 p.m. Houston time?
Eastern.
7 p.m. Eastern?
Eastern.
Yeah, which would be 6 p.m. Lonnie, is 4 o'clock okay with you?
Yeah, that'll do.
I mean, okay. I can go with 6 o'clock if that's what people prefer.
I actually prefer 7. Any objection to 7 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday, January 17th? Okay, hearing none, then...
That is January 16th, the day before, is Martin Luther King's.
Right.
Okay, fine, thank you.
Okay, Tuesday, January 17th, 7 p.m., the same number. Hearing no, if there's no objection, then that's adopted as our next meeting date. I've just posted that to the calendar. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is the approval of minutes from December 1st, 15th, and 22nd. I sent the minutes from the 22nd. I have the 12:01 minutes. I'm not seeing the 12:15 minutes. Are they posted up at the Yahoo group, Casey?
They should be. I did them both immediately after the meetings.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the background noise you hear. I'm at a client's office, so I can't get to my computer. But
okay.
They should be up there.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the minutes for December 1st, 15th, and 22nd?
I move.
Okay. Any discussion?
I can't find the 15th, so I'm going to be abstaining.
Okay. I'm getting it right now from the Yahoo groups, and I will send everybody...
Jane?
Yeah.
15 is the date of the email. I might just resend it if other folks...
Can you do that, Lonnie?
That'd be great.
Thank you. Okay. So is there any objection to accepting the minutes for... Actually, let's do this one at a time. Is it okay to divide it? Okay. We'll start with 12:01, December 1st. Any objection to adopting the December 1st, 05 minutes? Hearing none, they're adopted. December 15th. Any objection? Hearing no objection, they're adopted. December 22nd. Hearing no objection, they're adopted. Okay, so the next thing is the CFO report, 20 minutes. Jane, time now is, well, I have 26 past the hour. Okay, Lonnie, go ahead. It's you.
Okay. Now, what I'll do is I'll just go over that CFO report I had sent out.
Okay.
Labor.
Huh?
I was trying to do there.
Lonnie, you dropped out for about...
5 minutes? All right.
Yeah.
Hear me now?
Yep, now I can hear you.
Well, let me just go over the CFO report, and basically what this is while the auditors were here, I sort of went over with him certain issues that were coming up in the audit and certain of the numbers that were more or less settled. And I was brushing it out so that folks would have something to look at sooner rather than later. At that time, we do have the first draft of the audit, but I've given the summary numbers. They won't differ from the numbers that were in my CFO report so far. No big changes whatsoever. So I feel confident that the numbers that you do have in that report will be the audit numbers that you ultimately see. The audit, the auditor will be at the January board. Let me just go over stuff briefly. In the audit, I included charts in the CFO report and also included the 15-year financial history as an accompanying document. The data that backs up that 15-year financial history is 15 years of the audit done up in spreadsheets that are also part of those charts. So if you keep tabbing on the charts below in the 15-year history, you'll ultimately see the data that's there. It's not as organized as I'd like it to be, but it is readable, it is usable. It's sort of the worksheet I use to create the charts. What I didn't include, that we did include last year, is audience information. You'll recall that last year when we did the 15-year financial history, we also included the 15-year financial history of Pacifica's audience and listener data. That is a very valuable little booklet that we sent out, and I will refer to you to that to get the accompanying material on how our audience and listenership has changed over the years and the composition of our listenership. All right, back to the CFO report. The first thing is in that report, for those that don't have it, I'm going to sort of read some of the numbers, is that I compared basically FY04, which is our audit numbers for FY04, and then the audit numbers for FY05, which are more or less complete. And it shows that our listenership and donations went up by $688,000. That is from $13,022,000 to $13,710,000. That's an increase of 5.3%. Grants were up $353,000 because we have gained minority status for several of our stations, one of our stations in that year, and next year we'll have another station that will gain that minority status, KPFT. And it means that based on our audience and our staff composition, Pacifica is a minority network, which is to say that we are the most diverse network in the country, probably in the world.
Lonnie, quick question on that. Does maintaining that status require that the board of directors remain at least majority people of color?
Yes, the board is included.
So if the elections happen next year and they're not majority people of color, then that jeopardizes that status and that grant?
Correct.
Correct.
At KPFT, we were one person over the line and in terms of gaining that minority status. And, you know, it resulted in, you know, $130,000 increase in revenue for that station. So the revenue is significant around whether or not you are or are not a minority station. And in addition, CPP is setting up some special grant programs. This will be the first year that they're trying that on for size. And so there are some additional monies that will be made available. They're taking it from existing stations, by the way, to create this grant program where they're trying to incentivize stations in various areas. Our advantage compared to networks like NPR is the fact that we recognize, as our mission states, we bring to the fore those diverse voices that are excluded from mainstream and corporate media. So that is clearly recognized by CPB. They value that in terms of how that characterization for us, because NPR does not fit that characterization and CPB's clear goals in that direction. So the grants have increased.
May I ask a question, Lonnie? When they calculate minority status, do they also consider female percentages also or not?
That's an interesting question, and I don't know the answer right away, but I know they look at it. Gender does matter, and they certainly keep track of it in terms of the audience. But whether it is attached to minority status or not specifically, I'm not sure. I'll look that up, see if I can find it out. From CPP, for those that want to know, we're close to 1.9 million now. And that is up from 1.3 two or three years ago, 1.6 a year ago, up to 1.899 or so this year. So those numbers are significant numbers for us. 1.8 or 1.9 million represents roughly 10-12% of our total revenue. Grants are up. Community events are down. We had normally, last year we raised $668,000 in the community event line item, and we went down for FY05 to $487,000, down $180,000. Total revenue is up $916,000 or 5.71%. The chart below looks at the surplus deficit picture for Pacific over the last 15 years, and what it shows is that in the year 2000 we had a $4.4 million deficit, legal, and in 2002 we had a $663,000 surplus. 2003, we had a $1.3 million surplus. And in 2004, that went down to $656. And then in 2005, we're projected to be at $1,050,000 or so in the way of surplus. Question, what does that number mean? Are those numbers good, bad, or in the middle? Those numbers are much better than a $4.4 million deficit, I assure you. So by all means, everybody can take some considerable degree of pride in moving this network from a horrendous situation of $4.4 million. The auditor felt we were bankrupt, and he actually thought that we didn't have much chance and it would take 5 or 6 years to recoup. But remarkably, that didn't happen that way. We recouped much faster than anticipated. But we are not all the way back. We were better than the last 12 years or so. My point of view is that we are still have work to do, and we need to be at about a 1 month in terms of surplus deficit picture each year. And we're now at two-thirds of the way there with a million. I know everyone has a different point of view about it, but mine remains the same. We need those funds to keep going. But congratulations are in order for everyone that worked on it. I do go through some percent analysis. Percent's always a little bit tricky because you can have small denominators creating big percentage differences, but it is useful. The total network surplus increased from 04 to 05 by that 393,000, 60% increase.
Lonnie, just as a note on terminology, when you say surplus, are you're talking about the bottom line that is above the cash and capital section, or you're talking about capital reserves?
As the auditors would look at it, and they, you know, the cash and capital section is
non-standard.
Yeah, it's not standard, so they ignore it. So I'm talking about how the auditors. This is an analysis from the auditors' point of view.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you're talking about the line excess income, the excess income line. So in the consolidated portion of the budget, you're talking about budget line 177, which is 952.
Yeah, that's a before depreciation expense, because that will be another $400,000 deduction from that line.
Okay, so when you're quoting the change, you're quoting us the before depreciation amount, or yes. Okay, and so what you're saying is relative to the previous year, that changed by how much?
$393,000 or 60% increase.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, that's not peanuts. That's not, you know, that's good. So, but $393,000 is no. Welcome, of course, but we a little bit more. Working capital, for those that look at this report, I have a balance sheet chart.
I just wanted to let you know we're 10 minutes into our 20 minutes.
So I will speed it up.
I'm going to let you know.
Working capital increased from $708,000 to $1.8 million. Working capital is defined, if you look at a balance sheet, the difference between current liabilities and current assets.
Lonnie, another terminology question. This is, when we say that, we're talking about the end-of-year balance sheet, right?
Yeah, the end-of-year balance sheet. And I did send that along to you folks, lead sheet papers. There was a balance sheet that, along with the income statement, along with the charts as well. So you have quite a bit. And basically, you know, current liabilities are after you pay all your bills, how much do you have left over for next year or next month or whatever the case might be. Now, for a network that's been in business 56 years, which is the case for us, we're just, you know, those balance sheet numbers are fairly small for someone that's been doing business for 56 years. And my goal is for us to have a little bit more of a cushion for us, at least 2 or 3 months, where if disaster occurs, we will have some degree to recoup and pay our people to get through a storm or you know, some other disaster or fire, that we will not be in a position of not being able to pay our folks or our bills. So working capital is important for that reason as well. And I move on to, those are all good indicators. I do point out that $3.6 million in the last 4 years.
Hang on a second, Lynn. We're going to have to use some of that money to invest in phone systems. We lost you again.
All right. That's a static thing. I don't know what that is. But, you know, just so the numbers have some orientation, in the last 4 years, the network earned $3.6 million, as I point out in my report. And in the previous 12 years, if you include that $4.4 million debt, we really had a deficit of $108,000. But even when you eliminate the $4.4 million year, assuming that's an aberration, Even in the previous 12 years, we only averaged $361,000 per year. In the last four, we've averaged $924,000. So that's good news that we can keep our average up above $300,000. $300,000 is not nearly enough for the network to even pay bills the next month, as to say in October after that September fiscal year ends. So $900,000 is a lot more comfortable than $300,000. Then I go on to really basically look at each station. And let's do red flags. There are red flags. The red flags are that salaries went up 7.8%. Always have to keep on keep our diligence, because salaries are one of the things that are crucial to this network in terms of its future. Listenership is down. If you look at that 15-year chart, what's not in there is 2005 numbers. And the ones that I was looking at for the summer, the latest ones, Pacifica was having basically a million listeners. Thank you. That's down to about 800,000.
And how does that compare to the rest of the sector?
Radio, as you know, in general, is losing listenership. Lots of alternatives now to sit down, sit at home, and listen to radio, drive around in your car radio. So the community radio sector, two or three characteristics about community radio. One is half of stations will lose money. They're not profitable. We are, of course, an exception to that. There's been a trend in radio in general, commercial radio especially, but for losing audience. Community radio has bucked that trend up until last year, and now many community radio stations are showing signs of losing audience for the first time. It's, of course, going to cause a lot of concern with the Arbitron people. The other thing that I would mention around what Pacifica is that even our stations that have the highest audience are losing share in their market. That is to say, our share, I look at KPFA's numbers, share of the market, that is to say, how they compete with other stations, in this case, not only commercial stations, but listeners as a percentage of total listeners in the market, we're also losing ground there. And that has to be and should be addressed. We look at KQED here in San Francisco. They've doubled their audience in the last 4 years, whereas we have not. So that has to be examined and analyzed. So the other red flags are, good news was we increased our assets by 9% and reduced our liabilities by 28%. How did we do it? We did it with a combination of paying off that legal debt, thereby reducing our liabilities, of course, in doing so. But also, we increased our revenue in certain key areas. National office, by the way, increased revenue by $300,000 or $400,000, and that really helped us.
How much?
I'll just go through KPFA. Surplus went from 472 to 363. That is 04 to 05. I'll just do it that way.
Lonnie, for consistency purpose, can we use the determine the budget, the line, so that we're talking about excess income before depreciation?
Yeah, surplus deficit would be the line.
Oh, okay. So this is the bottom line after the cash and capital?
No, in accounting, the way the auditors do it, that's what they call excess surplus, the line above.
Okay. Well, so we're talking the excess income line.
Yes.
Before depreciation.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct. Because that's what they look at. They never even look at our cash and capital station. They are appalled by it today.
Okay. All right. So that's what we're talking about. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your roster.
Yeah. Just so that people that don't have the report can get a sense of how stations did.
So you were on KPFA. You said they changed by how much?
Well, in 04, they had a surplus of 472. For 05, they're down 108,000 or so to 363. And, of course, there are reasons for all of this, and I won't go into them, but they're just dealing with the raw numbers. KPFK in 04 had a deficit of 42,000, and they reversed that trend for 05 with a surplus of 146,000.
We're down to 3 minutes on our schedule.
Okay.
Can we give him another 5 minutes, since there have been a couple interruptions, notably by me? I apologize.
That'd be great. KPFT had 106,000 surplus in 04, and the really recouped for 05 looked like they were going to have a deficit, but they did not.
I'm sorry, I can't hear very well. Can you repeat that?
Our KPFT
uh-huh.
in 04 had a surplus of 106,000, which is 1 month for them, by the way.
Uh-huh.
They needed that 1 month. But in 05, that surplus goes down to 64,000. And I was saying that that's pretty good because originally I thought they were going to have an out-and-out deficit. That did not happen. They, in fact, have a surplus of 64,000. They did some of these community fundraisers that worked, apparently, and the numbers look good. With their new minority status, this year will even look better because they're picking up over 100,000 new additional revenue. So T's on solid ground financially. WBAI, last year, a deficit of 90,000. And remember, a deficit of 90,000 is more than 90,000. It means that the 1 month, which for them would be about 250,000, is to be added to that 90,000. This year, that 90,000 from 04 goes to 121,000 negative. That's not good news. I know the management are looking at even more reductions than they have made in the past. But I would say that come May, June, I will have some difficult decisions to make. Right now, they can do a drive in January around Martin Luther King. They can go into their normal February drive and their spring drive. But the dollars needed to move that station from 4 or 5 months, from essentially May through October, is a long period for all our stations, and it will be a difficult period for us as well. WPFW, I have said that WPFW dollar for dollar is the most efficient station in terms of returning listener dollars to the bottom line. And what I mean by that is 91% of their surplus deficit, their membership dollars go to the bottom line. They raised the surplus was $144,000 in 05. In 04, it was $93,000, so they went from $93,000 to $144,000. I go into a little bit more detail in the report itself. And finally, the national office, we went from $117,000 surplus in 04 to a $452,000 surplus in 05. And before people start seeing dollar signs, that is not real money, and here's the reason. We need about $750,000 showing. And the reason is that we have to wait 3 months before the stations have to wait 3 months to get paid, and we have to wait 4 months before we get the money from the stations. And so we need to have an ability to pay our bills without cash from the stations. But I will say that, in a way, we did it. How do you manage if you have to wait 4 months to get paid? The way it was done was with predominantly mail drops. And I'll close on these numbers. In 02, the surplus at the national office was $230,000. In 03, it was $591,000. In 04, $656,000. And in 05, it's coming in at $833,000. So it's kept moving up. And the reason is, to pay the bills, even though it looks like a lot, it's really 4 months operating, and we should really need another month. We're short 1 month. And we're the caboose. We get paid last, and so we have to wait longer to get paid. That would be the report. How would I summarize it? 05 was a year in which we were able to reduce legal debt substantially such that it's not sitting around. We're paying all those bills. 06, we'll have the beginning of an election. Remember, they start really in August, board election, and it'll spill over to 07, of course. So new expenses are on the horizon for the end of 06 and the beginning of 07. There may be, as I mentioned before, a bylaw convention. There may be other new expenses we're contemplating in SSRN and Spanish language, all of which may, in fact, drain resources to the extent that we may need to find new dollars to support those efforts. So 06 begins, happy holidays, but as 06 goes on, what we have on the table will take more resources than we are currently able to identify, and more on the way, and it will culminate in the elections that, as I said, start in the summer of 06 and move into fall of 07, our fiscal year.
Okay, that would be it.
Okay, we have the next section is a review of available financials, but I think that any questions for the CFO about any of these numbers falls in that category. So, Jane, can you start the clock on half an hour for that? And are there questions?
What financial reports do we have?
We had the stuff that Lonnie just sent out again, the copies, which are the financial history with charts, the draft income statement for September 30th, and the lead sheet summary.
Yeah, and I'll have October, November. I'll send that out tomorrow. I was not able to get it ready for this call. I figured you wouldn't have time to review it anyway, so it will be available early for our next meeting.
Okay, so basically it's the end of year numbers.
Yeah, every year it'll happen this way. We really can't start without finishing up this audit.
So discussion on what we've just heard and what the numbers are, Baruti?
Yeah, two questions. One, the draft September numbers, Lonnie, can we discuss those with our local finance committees at this point, or?
Yeah, I think you can.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, keeping in mind the draft September numbers are forecast; they're unaudited.
Okay.
There are differences. You know, actually, I did do a analysis of my forecast versus the final audit numbers. I can share that with you if you like, Rudy. I wanted to see how accurate have our forecasts been. I needed to know whether or not Pacifica, or what our forecasting methodology is, how accurate it is. That's what usually have been. It's been accurate within 1 to 2%. That's pretty good. 1% is considered phenomenal. As you know, 3% accuracy, within 3% of the forecast is considered good. 1% is phenomenal. On expenses, our forecasts have been within 0.7%. That is the audited numbers on expense. Within 0.7% are the forecasted numbers that we've been working with. I needed to know, you know, how well our forecast methodology had worked, in fact, final audit figures.
When do you think we'll have actual final audit numbers?
Well, he'll have them at the, so he'll have them a week before the board meeting. So he's promising them for January 15th, 2 weeks before the board. That is the order, the draft order. The final will be in February, but a draft that won't change, he's going to have available on the 15th of January.
Okay. Could that be circulated to the treasurers also, too?
Yes, by all means.
Okay. And then the other one was on the charts, at least the version that I had, it said that the 2004 numbers were unaudited. Was that an early version of the charts, or...?
Yeah, they were unaudited, but the 2004 numbers are audited. They are available on the Internet as well. That is the draft audit. The audited document is available on Pacifica.org.
Okay, so these numbers will probably be those same as those numbers?
Yes, they should be.
Okay. Thank you.
Rudy, which one was that referred to the unaudited?
If you looked at the footnote in the at least my version of the charts,
which one?
Like, for instance, I'm looking at National Office now. It says that...
consolidated lead summary?
This is in the Pacifica Financial History with Charts.
Okay.
That one. In the source at the bottom, it indicated that the 2004s, which were unaudited, so...
Yeah, they are audited. I'm sorry, that was left over from the time we did them last year.
Early draft. Okay.
Yeah, that's audited numbers.
Those audited numbers. Okay, thanks.
Now, I do consider the 05 numbers to be preliminary audits, so there's...
Right.
Final, yeah.
Right. I mean, in the 05s, you did have parenthetically projected, or...
Yeah, I've used the budget number
mm-hmm.
for my projection, assuming we came in on budget. Of course, we did not. So instead of the 1.5, we came in at the 1,049,000. So, yeah, but people wanted to know what the projection was for 05, so I threw in the budget numbers, and that's what we've been working on in the year since then.
I had a question, which was you and I discussed in the last, and Casey discussed in the surplus group, the need for some investments in research and development. You know, we talk about dwindling audience in the whole, you know, FM realm, and we can put reserves away till the cows come home and get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months. But if we're facing structural changes in the way people listen, those reserves don't help you get through long-term structural changes. What helps you get through that is research and development and investment in new initiatives that bring in additional support. And so I'm wondering where we are in terms of our ability to invest in things like my pet issue, which is digital audio distribution. And in terms of the investment that we did last year, how did that compare to the previous year? Do we have a sense of that? I mean, I don't think we have the budget broken down in such a way that you can look at one budget line and see that. Do you have a sense of what we did last year relative to the year before, and also how, as in total, it's going to be this year?
Those are two. Well, what happened last year, from where I sit at least, very much concerned with the issue of research and development. That is, you're absolutely correct. That it doesn't do any good to sit around with 1 or 2 months in the bank and never effectively utilize those funds to move the network forward in areas where it needs to be moved forward. So I wholeheartedly support anything to do where we can identify areas for research and development that will move the network forward, maintaining its competitiveness with all the other media that are proliferating. So that said, there are 2 or 3 areas that we did do pilot programs last year to test 2 or 3 questions. First question is, what does Pacifica need to do in order to ensure its future and remain competitive? The first answer was, we needed to be closer in contact with our listeners who are moving to other forms of media. And we did test whether or not Pacifica listeners wanted national programming. And that was one of the mail drop issues. Will Pacifica listeners support more national programming? The answer came back, yes, they will. They want more national programming, no question about it. And when we did our hearings, we did some fundraising during the hearings, and people in 45 minutes of fundraising, you know, sent along $20,000. So, yes, I think Internet listeners was another area where we felt that there was an area of growth for Pacifica. And we started looking at those Internet numbers. More and more people are listening to Pacifica on the Internet, not on the radio. And we did do some pilot work in that area, did some analyses, and found that we need to do more. So anyway, the short answer to that question is, if we could identify the areas for growth for Pacifica, that is to ensure our future, you know, bolstering our audience, keeping us technologically competitive, and I heartily agree that we need to look at distribution platforms out there and make sure that Pacifica's on those platforms.
Do you have a sense, though, of what our total investment on the year was
in last year?
Well, what it will call research and development, for lack of a better term.
Research and development, from what I can recall, and hate to be quoted, was around $100,000, $110,000. We invested in national programming and spent the money on national programming. We invested in Internet, increasing Internet access. I think we had W and some other stations increase their capacity and their broadband capacity. K has done work in all of those areas, but some other stations have too. A and W have come to mind. WBAI a year ago raised raised $60,000 via the web and using everything, using a lot of different ways. They've experimented with national fund drives using magazines to advertise membership for WBAI. So a lot of folks were trying a lot of different ways to identify what will work with Pacifica. So my best guess is this network spent around $100,000, $120,000 in the area I would call, you know, R&D, looking at ways to grow, ways to see what the broad shape of the network ought to be. I would say about that amount of money was spent.
Okay. Other questions? if there's not further discussion on it, we can move the agenda. I'll leave it open for another couple moments to see if anyone's got further stuff. Try not to all yell out at the same time because it's impossible
to hear you. I have one question.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, I do think that with a new ED coming on board, that perhaps one of the first things that we do as a committee is have a meeting with the new ED and go over implications for whatever this person's vision might be and the implications on the finance side. That would be something I was hoping folks on this committee would really. Now I'm talking in, you know, toward the end of January, maybe even before, during the board meeting.
Go upstairs.
A meeting. Okay. And taking that step. Seeing what his priorities might be, or seeing what we can impart to him around priorities that we see.
I don't think that process is yet completed, so I don't think we're. In a position to deal with that just yet.
Okay.
But if anybody else wants
to... Is there
to...
any sense of when we might have an ED?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing, having talked with him, is that he's going to make up his mind by the end of this week, at the end of next week at the latest.
Oh, an offer has been made?
He does have an offer.
Yeah, we haven't announced anything yet because there's still, I think, negotiations going on.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up there.
Yeah. I think we'd be better off just waiting until we get some formal announcement one way or the other, which I hope will be forthcoming. But right now I don't think we're ready to say anything on that front, at least not as far as I know. If anybody can tell me different. Yeah. Okay. So further, anything further on this? Yeah, go ahead, Patty.
Doug, can I ask you about a question about budget items now?
This is the time for it, yeah.
Okay. Do you have in front of you I don't have it here in front of me, the amount the budget line item for these mail drops is going to be this year, suggested? Or budgeted cost and income for those?
It's going to be about what it was last year. I think we raised, as you can see, we raised about $800,000. Cost is about $150,000. And that's the budget item that we'll be working with this year.
Okay, and that was budgeted last year?
Last year we started it out as a way to raise money to fund national programming in 2004 for the Democratic Republican Convention and the 10-10-10 program. So it was a way of trying to maintain national programming in that critical election year. And that's how it got started, actually, the ED.
But just to answer the question, if you look under the actual versus variance, you can see that the budgeted total for total development in the national office was 175, and the total came out at 258. And the budget lines where there were expenses that weren't budgeted were posted subscription, mailing services subscription, subscription supplies, and premiums.
Yeah, that was there was overspending in that area in order to raise the revenue, the $600,000 or $700,000.
And printing marketing had 14,000, had a reduction relative to the budget. So some of that was offset because it wasn't in that line.
Another question, if this raised that much money for national programming, why does the national office charge back to the stations money for national programming? You know, they get billed back like for all the expenses for national programming, or some of them, like the hotels and the people that are doing the job and stuff. So I kind of don't understand. If we made that much, and that was our plan, then why are we then charging the stations for the money, and we have a surplus of the money in the national office for that?
It's not a real surplus. I wish it were, Penny. I'd be celebrating. But
well, you know what I mean. It's like, why doesn't the expenses come out and stay out of the national office, why are they charged back to the local stations again after that?
Well, two or three answers to that question. The first answer is that a surplus of money sitting around. Actually, what the national office has in the bank is about $130,000. What we need is $250,000. That's our monthly expenses. So we're actually on a cash level basis short because we don't get paid from the stations, like I said, for 3 or 4 months. Even though we will book all the money that's owed us, that does not mean that we have it. For a station, you have that cash in the bank, and that number means something. But for the national office, it's like the money owed us rather than the cash we have. The second thing is that, you know, if a station has a bad drive, and that happened with WBAI, they were a drive that they were down, they missed target by $400,000. Well, that has an immediate impact on the national office. $80,000 $80,000 does not come in the very next month or the next 2 months that we accounted on. So the national office really doesn't have any cash reserves like some stations do. So we need to anticipate not only shortfalls at the station level, not to mention increases in the expenses at the national level, but on the national level, being responsible for national programming, we got to cover the Roberts hearings, whether we have the money or not, so we try to raise money. We got to cover the Alito hearings. There's a huge demand for that kind of national program. We fund Democracy Now, $550,000. So Democracy Now is one program, $550,000. So the Free Speech Radio News, $400,000. So those dollars get paid out, even though Free Speech Radio News is offset by the CPB. Democracy Now! Is not. And so any hearings that we may do, like Alito or Roberts, those monies have to be found. And, it's just a matter of trying to make ends meet. Anyway, I don't know. I had no idea about Alito's hearings, and all of a sudden that hearing will cost us $12,000. I have to root around to try to find those monies. Now, where we can foot the bill, we do. But where we can't, the stations get together, the general managers, and they agree that the hearings are so important that everybody will divide up the costs, and that's how we manage to get by.
Actually, Lyon, on that I have a follow-up, which is we have in the national office a certain amount of money set aside for national programming. Is it the policy that as long as that money holds up, it's used, so billbacks are not incurred until after we exceed that? Or how is it decided what's apportioned to that national office programming budget vis-a-vis billbacks?
Well, if you look at the national office budget, there's only really one...
Versus billbacks.
Yeah, it's only one really pot of money there called other programming. Rest of it is pretty much budgetized, right, for mm-hmm. programming. There's a line item there called the programming, and that's really where unanticipated or national programming dollars come from. It's only like $60,000. But the rest of it is already spent, earmarked, you know, $550,000, $48,000. Now that, we have to pay that money out.
This is LaVarn. I just came on the line.
Hi, LaVarn. We're in the portion of the budget that we're talking about available financials and responding to CFO report.
Okay. And also, I'm going to just be on for a short time. I have to catch a flight tonight.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
About Democracy Now!, whereas you folks have Democracy Now! Come to, these stations will go to your ear to raise money, and Democracy Now! Certainly does a great job of that, raising a minimum, I think, of $2.1 million. But they don't raise money for the national office. So we're on our own in terms of paying that bill. Ooh, and as I say,
that comes from national. I thought the stations have it in their budgets.
That's Free Speech Radio News, but not Democracy Now.
Okay.
And so that's every year I have to find $550,000, $600,000 to pay for Democracy Now.
But if a station has a Democracy Now! Fundraiser, doesn't national get a percentage of it?
Well, no, we get the percentage of the money raised, but we don't. Democracy Now! Doesn't raise money for us. They just raise it for the station.
But I mean, Democracy Now! Has its own budget line in the national office budget, so the other programming is the money we're talking about, which I think we've got at $6,000 a month. So right now, that's not earmarked for any particular programming as yet, is it?
Yeah, well, you know, as I said before, hearings like Roberts and Alito cost $10,000, $12,000 a hearing.
Right, but if this is exactly my question. If we do an Alito hearing and there's money there, how is it decided how much of the money's incurred in the Alito hearing at the beginning of the year when that money's still budgeted, get assigned to the other programming budget line in the national office as opposed through bill backs and then assigned into the programming budgets of the stations?
Well, there aren't a whole lot of programming billbacks that are assigned to the stations. Even with the Roberts hearings, the stations were running short of money, so the decision was made by the general managers to try fundraising on the air, asking listeners to support national programming, and that worked fairly well. It raised $20,000 and helped offset the cost of carrying the Roberts hearings. Where there is no funds, that is to say the national office doesn't have any programming money for whatever reason, which is the budget is there, but that doesn't mean the dollars are there. Sometimes the general managers will agree to divide up the cost of some important national event six ways the national office pays by the station. So there isn't any huge bill backs going back to the stations for national programming. Now, if that budget gets exhausted and there's a huge event that needs to be covered, you have WTO, you have Venezuela, you have Roberts, you have Alito, you have a number of national events that this national office budget that is on programming for national programming is designed to cover. But $60,000 doesn't go very far. Now, it doesn't go very far.
Other discussion?
Well, it seemed that in my inspections I came across a lot of these billbacks, and they were quite things. I believe the RNC was a billback. There's billbacks all the time in the middle of the year, like in March or something, which would seem to mean if you have budgeted amount and you haven't run out of it, that this money is still being billed back to the stations for the hotels, the broadcasters, and all this. So I don't understand if we've gone over. I never see amount the national office paid minus, and then the balance is split between the stations. It seems to just be, it's split between the stations. So if we are having national programming budget, I still don't understand how the stations are paying then when we have a national program that they're paying for that as well. And there also is a charge every year, every month, to all the stations to upload Democracy Now! As well. So there's a lot of expenses that are being charged back to each of the stations. So, this gives us a strange feeling as to what is it, if we have a budget there, what is it going for?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. What I can do, maybe at the next meeting, I can just outline some of those answers to those questions.
That'd be good.
Yeah, just an exercise I do anyway. I'll see how that looks. But one of the biggest expenses we have is that you mentioned the hotels. The hotels get billed back only for the people they send. Remember, they have a budget for your general manager going there, but the stations don't pay in advance for that. We pay in advance for that hotel, pay in advance for the station, we pay in advance for flights and travel. So what we're doing is we are actually fronting a lot of the expenses right here at the national office connected with board-related events, for example. Even with the national program events, we're fronting the money, and what we're doing is sort of trying to get expenses back after the fact, so it makes us like a bill collector. But that generates some of the bill backs involved. Rather than have five or six stations and individual bills to the hotel, front it all.
I don't understand. I can understand the national board meetings if you charging that back, but that still doesn't make any sense to me that, we're fronting the money for the national programming.
Well,
if
I may, Patty, it sounds to me, from what I'm hearing, like there's not a formal policy that it's decided as we go along, and I think maybe we'll need to develop something if you want it to be
It'll be wonderful, as you know, with the new ED on coming on board, having a program, a national program director. Remember, we have the funds and the budget for it. And normally that person would be handling all of this right now.